So I don't know if you guys knew this, did you know that in America, that there has been an emperor? The United States of America has had an emperor. Now you're thinking, you're kind of going through history. I know in your mind you're kind of working through that. And Craig, there's no way that there was an emperor in the United States of America. But really there was. Now, don't get me wrong, he was a little crazy, and I don't think it would be recognized by the government of the United States of America, but he was a self-proclaimed emperor of the United States of America. His name was Joshua Norton. And back in the 1800s, during the gold rush time, really kind of at the end of the gold rush time, he lived in San Francisco. Something happened to him. I don't know what was going on with him, but he ended up at one point kind of making the self-proclamation that he, is now the Emperor of the United States of America. And later on, even to the title of Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico. So he even added Mexico to that title. And so he walked, he did the part too. I mean, he dressed like an emperor. He had a hat with the plume, the feather sticking out of it. He would walk around town as if he was the Emperor of the United States. And what's interesting is that people, just out of fun, began to kind of feed into that. And so he would walk around. They would just kind of treat him as that emperor and walk away kind of laughing and giggling. You know, Joshua would go to events and as the emperor of the United States and make his presence known and do different things. Listen, this went on for years. As a matter of fact, he became so popular that when he passed away, they said there were over 10,000 people at his funeral there in San Francisco. To this day, the biggest funeral that has ever taken place in San Francisco. Now, again, if he were to show up to, in front of the government of the United States in some form or fashion, they'd laugh him out of the room. He had no power. But for many and for himself, he thought that he was it. He was the emperor. As we're thinking about Christmas and coming up to our Christmas time, but matter of fact, today is the first Sunday of Advent. Just want to let you guys know that, and so happy first Sunday of Advent. But we're coming up on Christmas, and as I'm thinking about Christmas, and as we kind of begin thinking through who Jesus is and what this means for us as we celebrate the birth of Christ, I started to think again of the fact that, listen, this man can proclaim himself to be the emperor, the leader. And there's been many others that have maybe claimed something similar to that in other countries all over the world. But there is no one that has the right to claim himself, and not just himself, but claim through the Word of God and the angelic voices, but the one that is the true leader, the true king of all kings is Jesus. And as we think about Christmas, we recognize that the King has come. No matter what others may say, no matter what others may take upon their shoulders in leadership, there is no one that can say that he is the King. Jesus is the true King. And so we want to talk over the next 4 weeks of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the King. The King has come. But as we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to look at passages of Scripture leading up to Christmas that deal with the proclamation, the declaring of who Jesus is and the birth of Jesus as told by the angels. As they approached this morning, Zechariah, as we talked through Zechariah and Elizabeth, and then also Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. The words that came from the mouths of angels proclaiming Jesus Christ, King of Kings, being born. And so I'm excited to walk through these next 4 weeks as we look at Jesus and what he means to us and who he is. And I hope that you, during this time, will just allow your hearts to be open to what God has for you as we look at some familiar passages of Jesus being born, as we celebrate who he is and rejoice in the birth of our King. So if you would just go ahead and open up in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you probably somewhere on your row. But also we'll have the scripture up on the screen. And then two, if you don't mind, you can look on the Bible app or even go to our webpage on the Connect page. And you can find our sermon notes and that scripture will be on there also. So as we look in Luke chapter 1, we're going to start this series off talking about Zechariah. Zechariah, just a very interesting man. He was serving and working in the temple. He had done so much there, and him and Elizabeth were older in age, still not able to have children. And in this story that we're reading, as Gabriel comes and speaks to Zechariah, found really in the temple as Zechariah was serving and doing his priestly duties in the temple. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 31 and read through 21 together. If you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? This is what God's word says in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you the good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. Father, thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the power that's in your word. And our prayer is that as we continue to walk through this passage and talk about who you are, Father, that the Holy Spirit would lay upon our hearts just this incredible truth that we are in the presence of you. You are great and mighty. And so, Father, may the Holy Spirit transform us and change us, making us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 1 as we kind of walk through this passage. And, you know, I'm fascinated with Zechariah, one, because of his position in the temple, but also just with his position in life. You know, he was older in years, and him and Elizabeth had been praying for a child, and they were still without a child. And so just imagine in your mind that how many times he was doing the service of the Lord, how long he spent doing that, how long they spent probably on their knees praying to God for that. And now comes this time when Gabriel shows up in the temple and begins to speak to Zechariah, proclaiming to him and declaring to him that they would have a child, and his name would be John, and he'd be the forerunner of Jesus in the ministry that Jesus had. What an incredible moment and time for Zechariah. Life-changing, obviously. But what we find in this story is so much more than just about Zechariah, which is incredible and amazing about what takes place there, but just who God is. And so I want to take just a moment and talk a little bit as we think about this, the truth that the King has come. The title of the message is Promises, Promises, Promises. Because we can learn so much from this story about who our God is. Because let's, you know, this is what God's Word tells us, and we can be confident of this, that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we read stories such as this about Zechariah and the birth of John and later about the birth of Jesus, listen, we recognize that what we read about God in this story, in Luke, and in God's Word, He's the same God today. And He works in the same way today in your life and in my life. So let's talk a little bit about who God is and what this means for us. And hopefully it opens our eyes again to the wonder of Christmas and how important this time is for us in the fact that Jesus was born. So if you have your notes, you can take those out and we can look at those a little bit. But one of the first character traits of God that I believe that we find in this story really amazes me. And it's a phrase really that we say over and over again, but do we truly believe it? And it's the fact that I believe, and I believe God's word can attest to this, that our God is a promise keeper. Our God is a promise keeper. So when we think of Jesus being born, when we think about the Christmas story, listen, we can look at the fact that Jesus was prophesied about, that Jesus was promised, that God made promises in the Old Testament to His people, but even more than that, we see it fulfilled. And we recognize that our God is a promise keeper. Now listen, in the world today, there are many promise givers. Matter of fact, if we were to do a show of hands, we could probably attest for our life that we have made many promises in our life. But I can say this, and from experience, and I'm pretty sure you might fall in the same boat over our lifetimes. Yes, I have given many promises, but I will tell you that I've faltered on some of them. That I may say that I will do something, and there's been times where I've not kept my word. I think we've all fallen guilty of that many times. Can I just really encourage you and remind you today as we talk about this truth that our God is a promise keeper, that He's not just a promise giver, He's not just a promise taker, He's a promise keeper. That He will not falter, He will not fail. Whatever God says, He will do. Whatever His purpose is, He will accomplish. Listen, our God is a promise keeper today. And this is important for us today because, listen, in God's Word, what we read are promises throughout God's Word of His presence, of His provision, of His joy, of His peace. Listen, if God has promised it, then we can bank on it. Listen, our God is a promise keeper. So let's look at this story real quick. Turn back to Luke chapter 1. I just want to read a few things and kind of point out a few things about this. I think it's interesting what we find when the angels, and understandable, when the angels speak. We see this all through in the Gospels. We read, especially in the story of the birth of Christ. What we find is when the angels show up, when Gabriel shows up, there is fear. Isn't that interesting? That, and I would imagine if angels showed up right now, we would be a little startled, I think. But listen, that's what we find. We find at the beginning of this, we find that Gabriel shows up, and it says in verse 11, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him." But the common words that we hear from the angels, and you hear this throughout these next several weeks, is this, that he goes on and they say this, that he was gripped with fear, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." What a great reminder for us. And listen, if we could just stop right there and leave the church today, this would be a great message for us. Our God is a promise keeper. Do not be afraid. What a great reminder. And when I think of Christmas and all that God has done through sending His Son Jesus, we're reminded how faithful God is. And we're reminded that we don't have to live in fear. Now, I get it and understand it for Zechariah to see Gabriel in front of him in the temple had to be pretty overwhelming. But listen, the message of do not be afraid is not just boxed into Gabriel. This is all of life because God is the one that is in charge. God is the one that is working. So God is a promise keeper. So be reminded today, don't be afraid of what God is doing, how God is speaking and how God is moving in your life. There's nothing to be afraid of because our God is a big God. But what we find is this. We find in this story, you know, Zechariah, Elizabeth praying for a child. So what a great reminder for us. Gabriel looks at Zechariah and he says, "Your prayers have been answered." You know what a good reminder for us that God hears your prayers. That when we talk and we spend time with Him, He is not a far off distant God who does not care, but He's a God who knows you, who understands your needs, and He hears. So what a great character picture of our God as Gabriel is sharing with Zechariah. But here's what I want to really kind of clue in here, zoom in. I hate to say zoom because it makes me think of COVID. To zoom in is that when we talk about God being a promise keeper, The greatest picture of this is found, I believe, right here in this story. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, just before Matthew. In Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. This is what God's Word says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, as you're turning to that. But it's a prophecy. So here's the prophecy. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." He is sending a messenger. Now go back to, I know you probably just got there, but turn back to Luke. And what does it say? It says this. It says, and let's look back at this passage of scripture. "And you have joined glass, many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." Talking about John. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children, of Israel to the Lord of God. And listen to verse 17. "And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." What we find is that when God gives a prophecy, when God gives a promise that there would be a messenger, someone to come before the Lord, listen, what we find is that God has kept his promise. Listen, this is pretty powerful because this happens over 400 years later. Over 400 years of silence and not really knowing. And what happens is now we see a fulfillment of the promises that God has declared. Listen, our God is a promise keeper. Now you may be saying, how hard is that? Listen, and this is the interesting thing. When we think about him being a promise keeper, God can work in any time. God can do whatever he desires and whatever he likes. God is in charge. He's in control. And when we read this story, God is a promise keeper, and the promises fulfilled happened over 400 years ago. But listen, that may have been hard for Zechariah. It may have been hard for Elizabeth. It may have been hard for the Israelites. But listen, it was the perfect time. It was the perfect and the appointed time for God to work. So listen, again, God's a promise keeper, but I want you to see this in the notes. God's best comes in God's time. What we find in this story, a truth that we hold on to, is that God's best comes in God's time. Listen, God is a promise keeper. That goes without question. Listen, hold on to this truth. We see it in scripture. We've experienced it in our life. Listen, God is a promise keeper, but listen, he keeps his promises in his time. Why? Because his timing is perfect. Listen, we may not understand and we may not have full understanding of that. Listen, but God's timing is perfect. And listen, his plans are perfect in his timing. So God's best comes in God's time. Psalm 31 says this in verse 14 and 15, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." Listen, our time is in his hands, and he's working and moving in our life. And today, listen, you may be waiting to experience what God has planned for you. You may be waiting to experience that provision from God. Maybe you're walking through a difficult time and it's hard. Maybe it's relationship issues, whatever may be happening, and you're calling out to God and you're crying out to God. Listen, God is not turning away from you. God is not turning a blind eye or deaf ear to you. Listen, God is working. He is present, but he's working in his time because his time is best. And so we trust and we have faith. You know, I don't know about you guys, but some of the hardest times in my life, this sounds pretty trivial. You guys may be really good at this. I'm not a very good waiting room guy. Anybody in here a good waiting room guy? Like you go to the doctor, or not just a guy, a girl. You go to the doctor and you sit in the waiting room. How many of you love it? Nobody. Yeah, I know. I get it. And so I go, I sit in there, and I have the attention span of like this. And And I'll sit there and I'll look around and I'll start staring at people, which is creepy, I know. And I'll look at people thinking, I wonder what's wrong with them. I try to diagnose what's happening. And then if they're not, if I see them sick, and then I go to the other side of the room. So you kind of look at people, you kind of get ideas, you kind of fill out the story. That's what you do when you're waiting, right? And maybe there's some magazines, you pick up a People magazine, you start reading and what the, you know, that fantasy life is all about, whatever. You know, you kind of do that. I love kids' waiting rooms because they have the little books where you can find the hidden pictures. Those are my favorite, and so I like doing that. But listen, I have a short attention span. It is hard in the waiting room. I'm not a good waiting room person. Listen, as believers, we are not good waiting room people in God's timing. We're just not. Listen, we want it done in our time. We want it done in our way. But I just want to encourage you today, God's timing is the best. And you may have to wait. We may have to wait for God to do His thing and to move and for His plan to come in fruition. But listen, at the end of the day, His plan is perfect and His timing is perfect. I love Habakkuk and the prophet Habakkuk. And what I love about Habakkuk is that in that small little book, really as a prophet, you don't really read of him prophesying to other people, which is interesting. But what he does, and if you read Habakkuk, what it is, it's a back and forth with God. That's what Habakkuk does, which I think is amazing. But if you were to set the context of Habakkuk and the timing, it, you know, evil abounded, you know, the oppression, rebellion was widespread from God, and it was just a difficult and hard time to live in, very similar to our day and time, to be honest. And that's just where they lived. And so he considered himself like just sitting on that watch, you know, watchman on a watchtower, just kind of watching and waiting for God to work. That was Habakkuk. And so his back and forth with God, God work. Well, you know, would you do something? I'm waiting, you know, we're waiting here for you to do something. But this is what God says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, which I think is timely for us today. He says, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." Can I encourage you today? If we can learn something from this, from Habakkuk or even from Gabriel and Zechariah, is that God's plan is coming. God is working. We see the fruition of the birth of Jesus, but God is working in your life. Wait for Him to work. Hold on tight to Him. It will not delay. Keep your faith and let God work and move in your life. He is faithful to carry it out. Alistair Begg says this. He said, "God's care for His children is like the sun. It's constant. Even though the clouds obscure it, it doesn't mean the sun isn't there." Listen, God is present. And there may have been times in Zechariah's life and the Israelites where they just thought they were done for. The silence of over 400 years. But listen, God kept His promises. And God will keep His promises to you and to me. So hold on and hang on and let Him work. But here's the other thing that we find in this story that I just want to share with you this morning. And this is what I find interesting about Zechariah. And it's this: God's plans are perfect even when our faith is not. So Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties in the temple. And Gabriel shows up in the temple and speaks to Zechariah. You would think of all times and all places, that would be the place and the time that you would say, God is working. God is going to move. But read what happened in verses 18 through 21, in Zechariah, or 18 through 20. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Listen, he questions. He doubts that God is going to work. In all places, And listen, that has to be pretty overwhelming, but in all places, he begins to doubt whether God is really going to do what he says he's going to do. He doubts that God is going to work, that this is true. And this is what Gabriel said, and the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Listen, I'm surprised at Zechariah not fully going all in on this, but there's a part of me that sees myself in this. I don't know about you, but I see myself in Zechariah's position. Even though I may come to church all the time, even though I may be a pastor, even though I'm supposed to have that walk and you guys are supposed to be following after Jesus too. Listen, we can find ourselves in the same shoes as Zechariah. When God speaks and moves in our world today, we ask the question, what? How? God, there's no way. How many times have we looked at our country and prayed for our country and think, there's no way that this country is going to be changed for him? There's no way there's going to be revival in this country. How many times have we doubted that God could work or do something in our life? Listen, that is us falling in the same trap as Zechariah. But can I just encourage you today and say this? God has great and perfect plans, even when our faith is not perfect. He is going to work and he is going to move in a mighty way. I just pray that we cannot doubt and we can trust and lean in on him and be a part of what God is doing and not stand back and just watch. Zechariah had doubt in his life because his faith was waning. And listen, it might have been for a good cause. It was a lot of time in that silence of, you know, that they've been praying and reading of the prophecy. But listen, it came to the point of God working and he couldn't see it. I just want to encourage you today. Don't let your faith wane. Hold on to God. Trust that he can work and will work and move. His plans are perfect. And listen, even when our faith is going to wane a little bit, listen, God is still going to move. He's still going to powerfully work because his plans are perfect. And no one and nothing can stop God's plans. But listen, may we be a part. I think it's fascinating for Zechariah that he was disciplined because of this. He lost his voice, couldn't speak. Think about all the incredible, wonderful things that he could have been saying and celebrating and worshiping. But yet, because of what happened, the discipline in his life, he was silent. But I can tell you this, probably more than ever during that time, he grew closer to God than ever before. Because he knew God was working and moving even in this hard time for him. But listen, it's a picture of God's faithfulness even when we lack our faith. And so I want to encourage you today, though, that take that step today of leaning into him more than pulling away. Because as we lean into him more, we get to experience the fullness of his promises and joy. As he works, as he moves, as he fulfills his purposes and plans in this world today. As we think about that, and I just want to end with this. As we think about the fact that his plans are going to work and move and they're going to happen, that they're perfect, maybe, just maybe, for Zechariah, maybe he had in his mind a different way that God was going to work. Maybe he had in his mind a box, and this plan did not fit into that box. Maybe he thought, this seems a little too impossible for God. Which means this, his God was too small. And so when we think about God working, what we learn from Zechariah is this, nothing is too difficult for God. And this is what I want you to walk away from with today. As we look at the story of Gabriel and Zechariah and Elizabeth and John, what I want you to walk away is this. Listen, God does not fit in our boxes. God's plan does not necessarily have to fit into our mold and what we think should or should not happen. It can't fit into what we think can or can't happen in the world of physics or science in the world today. Listen, God is bigger than that. He is bigger than anything else we could ever imagine. So listen, there's nothing too difficult for God. So if God is calling you to do something, if God is working in your life and you begin to question and doubt, listen, hold on to your faith because God can do anything. God wants to move powerfully in your life. And He wants to do it in a way that the world will be amazed. He wants to work in your life in a way that the world will look at you and say, this can only be God. And so hold on to your faith and trust in His perfect plans. Trust that He can do the impossible because we can. If you look in Scripture, we find it all throughout Matthew 19, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I love what Paul says, and I think this kind of sums it up for us. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, as he's talking about our eternal home and dying and being in the presence of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. As believers, if we walk by sight, listen, we're going to miss it every time. Believe and trust that our God is working. I watched a movie last night, just last night, Santa Claus 2. And I was taking a break from my Hallmark. And so I was watching Santa Claus 2. And don't judge me. And but anyway, so I was watching it. And part of that show, it's my favorite Santa Claus movie of all three, I think. They have three. But in it, this is what the son of Santa Claus, this is what he says. He has a globe, and he said, he was showing it to someone, and he said, listen, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. I thought, wow. Listen, that could be pretty close to what Paul is saying. As people, natural as we are, as the nature that we have, we want to see in order to believe. Listen, this is how God works. God wants you to trust. He wants you to have faith in who He is. And listen, when you trust Him, and when you believe in who He is, when you go all in this powerful, great, and mighty God, oh, man, you're going to see Him do amazing things. Today, church, as we think about Christmas coming, there's nothing greater than Jesus being born. Man, what an incredible act of God. Can I encourage you today that God is working today in the same way? Every single day in your life, we can learn this from Zechariah. He wants you to work. So trust in Him as He works in your life. He wants you to believe. He wants you to trust and have faith. Then you're going to be able to see God do amazing things in your life. Promises. He has made promises. And He is going to fulfill those promises every day in your life.